Hey there, lovelies. Before we start today's episode, just a quick message from us final girls. Really just me, but you know, Carly isn't on it too. We are officially opening up lines for Listener Request Month. Listener Request Month this year is in April. That means you have less than 2 weeks to get us your messages. We are going to cut it off on the 25th. So if you want to partake, there are two ways for you to submit your requests. The first one is by calling us on our new listener request hotline. That's right. We have a listener request hotline this year. If you leave us a message on our hotline, we will play it on our episode if we pick your film. So just please keep that in mind when you leave us a message. Don't go getting all upset if I use your voice. I'm Ursula the Sea Witch, bitch. I will use your voice. 323-657-3910. That's the hotline number. Again, it's 323-657-3910. If you are overseas or don't want me to use your voice because you're a big baby, you can email us finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. We will also take requests that way. What can I request, Amy, you ask? Well, here's the deal. You can request literally anything as long as it's not porn or a snuff film. I'm not going to watch that shit. But otherwise, really, anything you want. It doesn't even have to be horror. It doesn't have to be streaming. It just has to be relatively easy to find. Please don't make me like spend $1 million buying a DVD. But otherwise, like, I'm down. I'm down to do it. I'm happy to do it. It's our month for you guys. So we're excited to get your requests. Please note that Patreons do have priority, but they have already had their time to request things. So now is your time. We are only taking 10 requests total. So please get those calls in soon. Again, we are cutting off the date on March 25th. And that number, again, you wanted to know, here it is, 323-657-3910. All right, that's it. I'm done. On with the show.
You're listening to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Lovelies, welcome to the second 72nd episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about Ouija boards and Ouija board movies, starting with the newly released Veronica, as well as Mike Flanagan's Ouija prequel, Ouija Origin of Evil. For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. Veronica is streaming on Netflix, and Ouija Origin of Evil is on HBO Go and HBO Now. Feel free to check those out before continuing if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is The Endless, with an April 6th release date. I believe it's a VOD release date. It's directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, who both worked on Spring and Resolution. I haven't seen either of those films.
I haven't either. His name looks really familiar, though, but then when I clicked on it, I was like, nope, I haven't seen anything.
Right? I thought the same thing. Yeah, Justin Benson also wrote the film. The IMDb summary is, two brothers return to the cult they fled from years ago to discover that the group's beliefs may be more sane than they once thought. So, This trailer looks amazing to me. I'm very excited about this movie.
Me too. I was like, yeah. And I was like I was watching the first trailer as I was like getting everything open to like prep for recording. Mm-hmm. And then like it like fed into the next one. And I was like, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, there was a second
I'm gonna
trailer.
I'm going to watch the second one.
I know. I watched it too. Yeah, it's so basically we have, you know, kind of the opposite than we usually have with these cult movies, you know, where the cult is the scary part. What happens with when what the cult is worshiping comes true? I mean, I guess it's kind of on par with what we discussed last week with the triangle, except it seems a little bit more sinister, I guess. I don't know, just supernatural, lots of crazy shit happening. Maybe if the triangle really had a bigger budget.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed the triangle. I think it was good.
I agree. I know it's just great, but I just mean this looks like it has a little bit more of a budget. There's a little bit more special effects type things happening here.
Totally.
I'm stoked. I think it looks great. I recommend you check out the trailer or don't if you're against that. But this movie looks like it's going to be worth seeing come April. Too.
Yes. Hopefully it's on a favorite streaming site.
Hopefully, and then we can do an episode on it.
Yes.
Which would be radical.
I'm in.
And amazing. And fantastical.
All of the above.
All of those things. All right. Are we ready to get into the Ouija mindset?
I'm so ready.
Let's light our candles and sit around in a circle on the floor.
Mm-hmm. And say hello.
Yeah. And whatever else you do.
It's different every movie.
It's very different every movie. Except for these two movies, really, for some reason.
You always say goodbye. That's always the same, right?
You're always supposed to say goodbye. Well, yeah. If you don't say goodbye, you're pretty much inviting that thing to stay around with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want to get rid of it.
We do.
Hmm. That's my cue, guys.
It is.
I'm drinking tea, so I missed it. So our first movie that we are going to start with today is 2018's Veronica, written and directed by Paco Plaza, who did Wreck 2, and Wreck 3, also written by Fernando Navarro. The IMDb summary is Madrid, 1991. A teen girl finds herself besieged by an evil supernatural force after she played Ouija with two classmates.
So this has taken the internet by storm. I have been hearing about this film since its release on Netflix. It's been all over the place. I've been tagged in two different things on Facebook asking me if it's any good because someone posted something on Facebook that says Veronica is the scariest movie ever and be careful to watch it and yada yada yada. With people being like, is it really that scary? And me having to say, no, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. I enjoyed it. It was fine.
It's fine. But here's not the thing.
Scariest movie
ever. I liked
ever.
This movie until everyone was trying to say it was so scary because it's not. It's a fun film. It's not doing anything original at all. There's really like a lot of recycling, even of Ouija Origin of Evil. Like there's some scenes that are almost identical, which is insane to me. There are a couple original things, but I mean, mostly this is, if you've seen one Ouija possession type film recently, you've kind of seen this one already.
Watch it. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. I liked it. I think I avoided a lot of the I was very busy this week and last week, so I didn't get to like hit up the internet as much as I normally do. So I think I missed, like, it wasn't until you told me that everybody was talking about it. But it wasn't until I was like reading more into it that I kind of saw all of these like scariest movie ever, like had to turn off the TV because couldn't keep going. And I was like, why though?
Yeah. I mean, even Jacob on Modern Horrors was saying, you know, he was watching it late at night and was questioning that choice, which, okay, fine. I don't get it.
Adorable.
Like, I just personally don't get it. Because I watched this after I heard him say that, I'm like, he doesn't get spooked easily, you know?
Right.
Like, and I was watching it alone by myself, and then I was starting to question, should I be doing this? But then I was like, well, let's wait and see if something scary happens. And just, like, nothing really very scary. I mean, the scary things that happen aren't even, like, jump scares or or like physically right. an image that's scary. It's more like little things happening that are a little creepy.
I feel like the only times that I ever really like tensed up or like got nervous when I was like, don't let anything happen to the babies. Like, I was like, no, why are you leaving that little boy in the bathtub? Like things like that. It wasn't necessarily yeah. like, oh, there's a demon in the hallway and that's what I'm scared of. It was more like, oh, the poor children. Like, get them out of there.
Like the backpack thing creeped me out a lot.
Yeah.
At the beginning when she mm-hmm. puts the backpack up on top of this shelf and it keeps falling down. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, that was really high up on that shelf. Like that shouldn't be falling down randomly.
Right.
Like that kind of thing.
Was I got creepy. Really grossed out by the mattresses.
The mattress, the underneath the mattresses, which I think was real, maybe, according to the real story. I don't know.
So I looked up the real story. And it sounded like, so the part where, like, it was, like, the three friends who were, mm-hmm. like, doing Ouija to contact this girl's boyfriend who died in a motorcycle crash. So that was all real. And okay. they got interrupted by a teacher. And the two other girls said that they saw smoke go up their friend's nose and, like, into her mouth. Mm-hmm. And then over 6 months, she started having seizures and, like, seeing things and telling her parents that she was seeing, you know, evil demons in the hallway, I guess. And then mm-hmm. they like checked her into a hospital where she died. So she died in the hospital. And then I guess there was like supernatural stuff that happened after her death.
In the house, yeah.
So kind of a disconnect. Like I can, like they, I get where they base the story off of, but a lot of it didn't, obviously like they shortened it down to 3 days as opposed to the 6 months. And I think she was like checked into the, like a hospital rather than like shit just going down like at the apartment.
Sure. And that the police witnessed something supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Which is like the first supernatural police report in Spain.
Yeah. So, okay, it's based on something. And people have been kind of mentioning this as the European version, or this, I guess, the Spanish version of The Conjuring. We already have a British version of The Conjuring. That's The Conjuring 2. but I guess that works. I don't find it as tense to watch as The Conjuring films are. The Conjuring movies to yeah. me are a lot scarier.
100%.
Yeah. I kept waiting for like the scary to hit, and it just didn't. Because I guess I was comparing it to those movies. It definitely has its moments of creepiness. I just don't think it hits a level that everyone's saying it hits. At least not for me.
Either.
Everyone has different things that makes them scared. I'm not trying to discredit other people's fears. It's just to me. I mean,
it didn't get that for me, and I also didn't. I just thought you're supposed to know that it was like the sister doing these things mm-hmm. to the kids rather mm-hmm. than the demon, because like especially the scene where like she's choking her sister, like that wasn't like a hidden thing. It wasn't like really, I guess it was like sort of implied. That,
are you
like,
talking
the
about
demon,
how there's like this big reveal at the end,
yeah.
except it's nothing new
it's
that
not
you didn't
a,
already
I was like,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
You know, like I was
think
like,
it's
that's
more
not
like
a
she
twist.
She's realizing it, not we're realizing it,
which is fine, except yeah. for they have those weird flashback things, which are usually meant to like explain to audiences, remember when this happened? Oh, my
or
God.
Or maybe it's her remembering it.
I guess.
I think they used a technique that is typically used to show the audience something they might have missed. But they're using that technique to show she's realizing it, which, you know, usually that's a simultaneous thing. Like we're all learning it together.
Right.
But in this instance, I think really just Veronica is learning this. Maybe some of the audience is learning it. Maybe they didn't
pick up on it. Maybe they went to the bathroom when that was happening.
Maybe. I also think that maybe I don't know for sure, but I get the feeling that the people talking about this movie aren't necessarily genre fans or genre obsessed fans, I guess, because I'm getting tagged in these posts by like my friends, like by people who don't watch horror movies. I'm getting tagged by, I'm getting talked to about it by coworkers who don't really watch horror movies. The people that are paying the most attention to this film, I feel like are non-genre people, which is very strange to me. And I wonder if it's just because it's prominently placed on Netflix that people are watching it like this, because I didn't know anything about this until a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. Did you remember hearing anything about it until recently?
No, I saw it on Netflix, but I was like, oh, you know, it's
no,
fine.
But I mean, it came out last year, and you know what I mean? Like,
Oh, like when it originally came out,
yeah,
not when
like
it dropped on Netflix?
Yeah, like we didn't do a trailer trash talk on it. I don't remember like hearing about it much on Modern Horrors. Like maybe it was like an article or something, but I don't remember like much attention being paid up until it's on Netflix. So just curious. I'm trying to figure out where the hype from this movie is coming from, because it doesn't seem to be a marketing thing so much.
Was it released in the U.S. prior? Because I know it was released in August
There were some, like, film festivals, I believe.
Okay.
But I don't know. Now, and I'm a big fan of Rec. I haven't seen Rec 2 or 3, but I really liked the Rec film. And I think that that film is way more frightening than this one, personally.
I don't think I saw Rec.
You really should. We should do an episode on it. It's just way more tense and like exciting. Mm-hmm. I wanted a little bit more excitement here. Although there were scenes when I was on the edge of my seat. And I'm not trying to discredit this film. This is a good film. There's really nothing wrong with it. It's a interesting film. It's fun to watch. It's just not the hype is just way too much. It's just way too much.
But if you've missed the hype, watch it. It's fun. It's a good movie.
There's some
I missed the hype. That's why I'm saying that, because I totally missed the hype. So, yeah. It's a good movie.
It is.
I think I did like 3 stars on Letterboxd.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. That's what it deserves.
Yeah.
3, maybe 3.5.
Yeah.
There's some interesting film techniques. I noticed some cool shots. It looks good. The sound
is
good.
Great. The girl did a great job.
Yeah, the acting seemed on point. The kids were cute and funny. Some of the writing was really enjoyable. You really get a sense for the characters. You like the characters. The kids playing was super authentic. I loved
that. When they were doing like the award ceremony, the things that they were saying made my day.
Miss Madrid is a robot.
Yes.
It was like, it's a little something you might not know about Miss Madrid is she's a robot.
It's so good. They just kept going. It was so.
She's a robot.
That was probably my favorite part of
it. And
then
as soon as she says that, the other girl starts acting like a robot. Just hilarious. It's just so cute.
So good.
It's so funny. And the little boy obsessed with the Zendaya song.
Yes. And that's what they sing at the end.
That song is stuck in my head forever. Like every time I think about it, I'm like, Zendaya gives me time to. Zendaya. Don't know what Zendaya is. I'm guessing it's some sort of like floor cleaner. Although when I looked up Zendaya, thinking maybe it's like a real product in Spain, it's like some kind of herb.
Oh.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I didn't get that far.
But I think I remember in the commercial watching someone clean the floor and then saying that it gives them more time to do stuff.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So maybe they wrote this expert jingle just for Veronica.
It's a really good jingle. I really enjoy the jingle.
I love jingles. I still get the 7-Up one from like the 90s stuck in my head. So
really? Can you
happens.
Sing it? I don't remember it.
7-Up. Yeah, it's an up thing. 7-Up does it every time. 7-Up. Yeah, it's an up thing because it's cool and it's wonderful. And it's lemon and lime. There's different variations.
Wow. I barely remember that.
I guess it's
that's
a thing
a really
that happens.
Horrible jingle. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
It's an up thing?
Because it's 7-Up? Because like they were like,
I understand
that's
why
where,
they're
that's
using
where they got
the
that
word.
From.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
But I understand the name of the product is 7-Up. I just don't understand what an up thing is.
Who knows? Someone
is that
made
like
a lot
up
of
dog?
Money off of it. It wasn't me, but I still have it in my head.
Is that like Up Dog, though?
I have no fucking idea.
You totally ruined the joke. You're supposed to say, what's up, dog? And then I'm supposed to go, not much. What's up with you?
I'm supposed to go.
It's a joke. You want to try it again?
Sure. We can
Has the moment passed?
The moment might have passed.
Okay. Let's just let it go.
It's an up thing. That's all I have to say.
Is that kind of like up, dog?
What's up, dog?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Oh, nailed it.
All right.
Nailed it that second time around.
You're welcome, everybody. Okay. I think we're done.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say about this movie, to be honest.
The character development's good. Mm-hmm. The way it looks is great. The story is not original, but it's fun. It's a little too long for me, but ultimately, it's fun.
I agree. Yeah. I think they could have shaved it off.
Like 15 minutes, maybe?
I think. 10? A lot of the, I think a lot of the interaction with the friend post Ouija session didn't really need to happen.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
I think that was really weird and drawn out.
I either needed more of her or less of her.
Exactly.
I appreciated that those awkward interactions because that's what being a teenager feels like.
I've
had those experiences where it's like all of a sudden your friend's not your friend anymore and you don't really understand why. You know, like it's a very teenage shit thing that happens to people.
But like what kind of human would hear their, like after doing something like that, hear their friends say that they're going to die in 3 days and not say anything about it? Who's just like, all right, I'm going to let that sit. And then it happens. And then you just feel like a shit the rest of your life.
I guess.
It's just, I don't know. It was weird. It didn't really, like, I didn't get it. Maybe that's just me, though.
No, I mean, that's just kind of the sad part of the end, I guess. The end, here's the thing I don't understand. I guess we're still talking about it. I'm just going to get back into it. She gets possessed by this demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the demon basically immediately kills her. What is the point of that? Why would a demon want to kill the person they're possessing? Wouldn't they then want to live as that person? Isn't that like the ultimate goal of demons, to like live as humans and like fuck shit up?
Didn't she try to kill herself? That's what I was confused about, actually, because like I thought she like stabbed herself or like cut her throat or something. But that's when like the demon also takes over. So I was I actually didn't really understand that part. And then I was like, oh, she's being taken away on the stretcher, like whatever.
Okay, but did you notice like they kept showing that painting of the deer getting chased by wolves? It's like a deer. They keep showing this painting. It's a deer and it's being chased by wolves. Mm-hmm. And she's always like kind of standing in front of it when something crazy happens. It probably happens like 2 or 3 times in the film. Okay. And then the last time, like at the very end, when she's standing in front of it, there's no deer there anymore. And then she's wearing a shirt with a wolf on it at the very end when they take her away in the stretcher. She's become the wolf. Okay.
Right.
She's become the demon. I just don't know. Okay, cool. She's become the wolf. She's become the demon. I want to see a part two where she fucks shit up as a demon.
Right?
Like, why would that let then?
I mean, maybe they just didn't really think that through, because obviously if she knew she was going to die on that day, this has been the plan all along.
So you're saying she killed herself, then she lived somewhat as a demon, and then she died.
See, I don't know if she killed herself, because I thought that she did, but then there was like no blood. It was very confusing to me.
See, I thought the demon was already inside her at the beginning. Why is the demon then again inside her at the end?
I think two kind of different things here.
Okay.
I think that, yes, like the demon was inside of her at the beginning. She was maybe having this like internal struggle. She was like envisioning all these things, obviously like hurting her, whatever, her siblings. She realizes that she needs to protect them, and then realizes that like she needs to die. So that's why I kind of thought like when she had the piece of glass in her hand that like, and she like moved to motion towards her throat. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, is she like cutting her throat? But then like she bends back all possessed and whatever,
like Ouija, origin of evil,
exactly. And that's when the officer walks in and like sees that happening, and then she collapses. So, but then we also have her getting kind of possessed at the very beginning, where you assume the demon is like going into her body and she's whispering all those things. So, and her friend hears her say that she's going to die in 3 days. So I feel like the plan has always been, and I don't know if this is from her perspective or from the demon's perspective, that she was going to die. Like, there was no way that she was going to get through this alive, basically.
So, like, the demon's main reason for being was to kill her.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, fine.
I mean, again, really? I don't know.
Like, that was it? That's all you wanted to do? Like, you're a demon.
Right.
Wouldn't you want to fuck more shit up?
Apparently not.
Also, apparently not. Something that bugged me is when they were playing Ouija at the end of the movie with the siblings. Before that, let's say even before that, when she's having everyone get ready, she gives a baby a crayon, tells him to draw the most complicated symbol I've ever seen on all of the walls, which is a super important part of this whole process because that is what's supposed to protect them.
Right.
It's very complicated. Like, I would have difficulty recreating that exactly the way it is.
Totally.
She gave it to a child. Like, not even
a baby.
He can barely talk.
He is a baby.
He is by far a baby, and he draws another symbol. He like flips through the book and finds other symbols.
Symbol.
Yeah, he invokes.
I like this things. One better. I'm gonna draw this one instead.
Why are you giving a baby a really important job?
Why aren't you checking on all these things to make sure that they're like exactly accurate?
Exactly.
Like, that's a pretty important thing. Even herself, she had to trace it, and she's asking baby to freehand it.
Like, she's asking baby to freehand it.
Like, what?
You put that. And then at the end, she's like, well, ignore the demon. And then they let the glass roll away and she follows it. Why are you following it? Don't break the fucking circle. You didn't say goodbye again. You know that's the most important part.
Exactly.
Again, she fucks up again. I'm just saying.
I always say goodbye, idiots.
She fucked up multiple times. They fucked up multiple times.
I
made
mean,
a lot of dumb decisions.
Did they really expect another thing? I don't think so.
Okay, now let's move on.
All right, now I'm done.
Okay.
What's next?
What's next? You know what's next.
I do.
Next is Ouija, Origin of Evil from 2016, written and directed by Mike Flanagan. I swear to God, we're going to stop talking about Mike Flanagan eventually. I know we've done like
probably
every
not.
One of his movies at this point. This is the last one. This is the last horror one we haven't talked about.
It's true, actually.
It is. It's also written by Jeff Howard, who has helped Mike Flanagan write Oculus, Gerald's Game, and Before I Wake, and possibly others. Those are the three I wrote down. The IMDb summary is, in 1967 Los Angeles, a widowed mother and her daughters add a new stunt to bolster their seance scam business, inviting an evil presence into their home. So...
Oh, but that's a false. That's false, though. That is a terrible IMDb summary.
I'm reading it again.
The evil presences have been there all along.
That's true, but that's a spoiler, Carly. They can't spoil in the summary.
But they can't mislead me.
Sure they can. Of course they can.
I call bullshit on this IMDb summary.
So this is my second time watching this. This is your second time?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Yeah. I like this movie. It is not my favorite Mike Flanagan movie, but it's still a very good film.
It felt really, and I get, so like I know and appreciate that he was like super into just making everything about this movie like super authentic 1960s. And in the theater, I really appreciated this, but on my TV at home, I wasn't like super into the burn mark. Yeah. Because it was like so obvious. And then the picture's like so crisp and so obviously digital that I was like, I don't know why. Like, it kind of like took me out of it a couple times, to be honest.
Yeah. So just to reiterate, the film is digital. This was filmed in digital, but the movie is supposed to take place in the 60s. So Mike Flanagan added burn marks to the upper right corner of the film every 20 minutes to make it feel more old school.
Just film on 35. I don't know.
I mean, this is something that happened a lot in older movies, because that burn mark is what, it's like a little hole you'll see on the upper right hand of your screen. And if you're not aware, they used to use that to indicate when they had to change reels in the theater back in the day. So, okay. Yeah. And he also had like old school title cards, and he had the old school
Universal logo.
Universal logo, which are all well and good. But yes, I agree with you, Carly, that it kind of doesn't do shit if you're filming on digital.
Right.
Because everything looks beautiful, clean, brand spanking new, and then you're just kind of throwing back some old school things.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It just doesn't, it doesn't really add to my experience to have those things, because
it legitimately took me out of the movie every single time that it happened, because yeah, I like noticed it and then I was like, I gotta shift my, wait, okay, yeah. Like, I don't
think
know.
It was just more confusing than helpful because of the way it was filmed. And I know, I'm sure Mike Flanagan prefers to shoot everything digitally. It's probably way less expensive and way easier to edit when it's shot digitally.
Totally.
So I'm sure that all had something to do with it. However, I 100% agree with you that it doesn't exactly make me feel like it's any more of a throwback. If anything, it's more distracting that I realize it's not a throwback.
Yeah. And so, like, I appreciate the old Universal logo at the beginning and the old title cards. All, like, everything that he did was great. But yeah, watching it, and I don't even think that I mean, I noticed it in the theaters and I appreciated it in theaters, but like, I don't need that when I'm streaming it online at my house. Like, it wasn't something that I feel like needed to be transferred over onto, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's
the VOD version,
not all
or digital.
Old throwback movies need to be shot on 35 or,
exactly.
or film or anything. It, I mean, the new It film, no one's complaining that it's beautiful and digital and has CGI and it takes place in the 50s. Like, nobody thinks about that. So, or the 80s, right? Sorry, the new one's in the 80s.
Yes.
The old one's in like the 50s or the 60s, right? I'm confusing things. But still, it doesn't look like the 80s. It looks brand new, beautiful, digital film.
Which is totally fine.
Totally
fine. Everything that he filmed was super authentic and beautiful, and it looked wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's a minor thing, but it like definitely distracted me from the movie experience.
I 100% agree. Okay. Well, let's talk about the story a little bit, because we have, this is a prequel to Ouija, which came out a few years prior to this film.
I never saw that.
Yeah, and you know, I saw it a very long time ago, and I kind of just refreshed my memory by reading the summary of the old film. It's not good. I might have rewatched it if it was streaming somewhere, but I really didn't want to pay to watch it because it was not great.
I'm kind of intrigued to see it because my cousin, who I saw this with, has seen it, and she said that, like, the woman in that is, like, Lena in this, I guess.
Yes. So Lynn Shay is in the first film. Horror fan love Lynn Shay.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Lynn Shay. You know Lynn Shay from Nightmare on Elm Street. She's a teacher in Nightmare on Elm Street. We also know her from the Insidious franchises. She's the psychic in those films. So we also see her in Ouija, and she plays the older sister Lena as a grown-ass woman. And if you watch Ouija Origin of Evil after the credits, if you stuck around after the credits, you would see young Lena aging into old Lena at that same mental facility. Which apparently used to be the actual ending of the film, but they had to change it when they realized everyone was watching the end of the movie and thinking it was somehow tied to Insidious. No.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's a different universe, different characters. It's just Miss Lin Shaye showing a bit, you know, Lena did have some kind of psychic tendencies towards the end. So people were like, oh, she turns into Lin Shaye from Insidious. No. So they added it after the credits thinking, okay, well, maybe it'll be more like a Marvel Universe thing. Like, you'll realize that's Lena from the original first Ouija film.
You're watching Ouija, people.
Yeah.
Not Insidious.
So, and it lends itself well to the original film. I think they really try to cover... Mike Flanagan does a good job of tying up the loose ends of the original that were not well thought out. Like, ghosts with their mouths sewn shut. This tries to explain why the ghosts in the original have their mouths sewn shut. Does it do a great job? Yeah, it's okay. I can kind of get behind it. I don't really believe it, but like, I understand you have to do something, right? And right. Like, what else can you come up with?
Exactly. It's
to keep there has space. To be some sort of crazy doctor that sews people's mouths shut. That's really the only way to get around it.
Of course. And of course, we got Doug Jones as the ghoul. No?
I don't know who Doug Jones is.
What? Yes,
Am
you
I
do.
Am I supposed to know? Who's Doug Jones?
Doug Jones is creepy thin guy who's in like every movie ever. He's the monster in Shape of Water. He's the Bye-Bye Man. He's the creepy... Crooked Man. He's
okay. So he's the Crooked Man guy. That's the only thing I would know him from. Okay, so he's like the weird big guy that can do like weird contortionist
things.
He contorts
so his
he's
body.
Like this the doctor, is that who you're saying
he's the ghoul. He's like the,
isn't that what the doctor is?
Yeah, but I don't think, do they,
I mean, we barely see the ghoul, so I'm not really like able to picture that very well. There's very little ghoul images.
Maybe he's not the Crooked Man, but he's like the dude in Pan's Labyrinth, like the Faun and the pale guy.
I'm just saying, like, I don't really see him in this film at all. Like, is there a ghoul that we're seeing constantly? Like,
yeah, the girl that like she always, or the guy that she always sees when she's looking through the thing.
I know, but it's like brief glimpses, right? It's not like he's like really doing a lot of things.
I don't know. I like him. I think he's cool. I was stoked.
Okay. I guess I just don't know any different than not paying attention to the shadow person randomly appearing in the film. But that's cool that he does other horror stuff.
Being creepy as hell.
Yeah. I don't find him scary. I don't find a lot of this film very scary. The scariest part of this film is Doris, by far. She is the creepiest person.
Little
character.
Lulu. She's cute. And also really creepy. When she's like explaining the like how you feel when you get strangled to death.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Here's the funny thing about Doris. As a character, she's very cute and very sweet at the beginning. And then as she becomes possessed, she has these, like, there's definitely some CGI face things that happen where her mouth opens really widely for some reason. You know, there's that one scene in the basement that creeps me out a lot when the boyfriend's going through the basement wall. You can see her face right behind him,
yeah,
like with
do
this
all those
creepy
weird,
smile,
like, twitchy like, things
with the neck cracking. That's creepy, sure. But really, when she's describing things, she creeps out the boyfriend so many times, and I just love it so much.
I'm just saying, if I was that dude, I would have been like, see ya.
I'm not coming back to your house. I like you and everything, but we can just see each other at school.
I'm going to call you and we can meet
Why
elsewhere.
Are you going back there?
No way.
And then when she's there, you leave. Like, oh, she's not here? Okay. Oh, no, I actually don't need to see your treasure in the basement. I'm good. I'll see you later. Why are you going in the basement with creepy girl that just told you how it feels to be strangled
That's
to
what
death?
I'm saying. I don't care what kind of treasure you got in your basement. I'm not going anywhere with you.
I'm not that interested in treasure, to be honest. Like, I am more interested in keeping my life. I'm good. But yeah, I appreciated that. Although during that monologue, and I know that she's a young actress, but You know how young theater kids act?
Yes.
They do a weird thing with their voice like this. You know that?
I do.
She does a lot of that. She does a lot of that in that monologue, and it takes me a little bit out of it. It's very little kid theater voice. Yeah. Little kid theater, musical theater voice.
That's hilarious. Because
they're enunciating and they're projecting, and it's just a little too much for that scene. But it's still creepy. It's still very creepy because it's a little girl talking about getting strangled to death. Could you imagine being her parent and like helping her memorize her lines? This is her one big monologue of the film that she has to memorize.
And then you're at home like, okay, honey, no. And then the pins and needles. And then this. What?
Mom, when you're getting strangled to death, is it the pins and needles first or do you get cold?
She's just
first?
Repeating it over and over and over. And you're like, oh my God.
She's like sitting in her bedroom facing the corner talking about how it feels to get strangled to death every night. Instead of bedtime stories, you practice your monologue.
Well, and then she went from this to Annabelle.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she's good. She's a good little actress. That monologue just, I don't know. It was still creepy, but, you know, she's a little kid actor. It's obvious she's a little kid actor.
For sure.
Nothing wrong with it. That's just it. All right. I just want to say there was this one scene that made me want to just immediately start crying when the mom is everyone leaves the room and she's working on the Ouija board, like rigging it with magnets and stuff. And everyone leaves and she just like tries to use it to talk to her husband, like, and nothing happens. You know, like she's always talking about how it's all fake, but like she has a moment like maybe this is real. Let me try it. That is just kind of heart wrenching and really just tugged at my heart a little bit.
Tugged at those heartstrings.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw that movie, I was like, oh my God, it's the lady that plays, she's on Grey's Anatomy. That's all I could think of. That's all I could think of.
Again, I've never seen that show, but that's exciting.
Crazy amnesia lady.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you would know Doug Jones as one of the gentlemen from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay. So a bunch of characters that don't talk or do anything,
exactly.
Really, is what you're saying. I don't.
But wasn't the gentleman so creepy?
How am I supposed to recognize that person who's just a bunch of random creepy figures?
I mean, I didn't recognize him in person. I recognized him after I looked at the IMDb credits. I just.
Okay.
That's it.
I mean, I appreciate he does all these creepy things, but it's like, I don't know. I can't get excited.
She's not into it.
I'm just all not. Right. I'm sorry.
Fine. I'm over it. Kind of.
I'm sure other people who are listening to this really give a shit, though. And you're providing them with valuable information.
They probably
I'm
already just not knew. One of them. The last to the party.
So, I mean, all in all, this is a decent movie. It's a really good prequel to a really bad movie. And that's all I can really say about it. As a standalone film, it works. The ending makes less sense if you haven't seen the original, but it still makes sense, right? You're not really missing out on much until you hit that credit, or that scene after the credits with Lin Shaye. But, I mean, it's good.
It did its job.
Good. Both of these films are good. Both of these films are 3 stars.
Totally.
They're not awesome. They're fun. They're cool to watch. I don't really feel like anything super spectacular is happening. Although I do feel a little bit like Veronica stole some shit from Ouija Origin of Evil.
Oh, absolutely.
There's the one scene where Doris gets possessed and she bends backwards and the thing goes in her body is basically exactly the same. She's looking in the mirror just like Veronica is.
Yep.
She has this moment of clarity where she realized the demon's right there and then bends backwards, demon in her body. It's exactly the same shit. It's exactly the fucking same. It's exactly the same. And they both have very ominous endings. They don't have happy endings. No. Neither of these films do. There is death at the end, and it's your main characters, and you feel it. You know, it's interesting. It's very interesting. And I definitely think that the actress that played Lena really did a fantastic job.
Same.
She's the same girl that was in Oculus, right?
Oh, the young...
The redheaded girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Her acting at the end when she's in the mental hospital, I thought was fucking on point. When she's being interviewed by the doctor and she's really just trying to remember things and just like the smile on her face, the very light personality feels so authentic and like how you act when you don't remember things. Like if you know someone with amnesia or someone who has whatchamacallit, the disease where your brain goes at the end of your life. Dementia, whatever.
Alzheimer's,
that's what I was thinking of. If you know someone that has it, they just kind of smile and seem light about things. And when they can't remember things, they kind of giggle, you know, because it's what else are you going to do?
Right.
She has that and she does it really well. I was impressed by her acting skills.
Yeah, no, she's great.
She is. All right. Anything else to add on that one?
Nope. That's all I got.
That's all you got. That's all I got. Okay, well then let's move on to our last segment. What's that one called?
Social media question of the week.
Oh, which we got this week.
Does anyone have any personal Ouija board stories, experiences to share? Stories or experiences to share?
Yes. Stories, experiences. This is how it's written.
I was just curious.
You're like Ron Burgundy.
I am. I just
read the teleprompter.
I read what I'm given. I read what's put in front of me.
It's a great question. We did not really get any kind of responses that maybe you were hoping for though, Carly.
I know.
But let's read them off nonetheless. Let's go for it.
Okie dokie. So on Twitter we have at Nightmare Junk who says, sadly, my Ouija board experiences are limited to multiple viewings of Witch Board.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a lot of people's only Ouija board experiences. At James D7004 says, funny enough, we just shot a short film that revolves around a Ouija board. No one died in real life.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. On Instagram, we have TrevAllen81 who says, shit didn't work. Bum ass spirits. Worse than millennials. No work ethic at all.
Wow.
Ophelia.
Shooting down millennials. On a podcast run by millennials. Thank you. Sam Spade 8525 says, only a friend bringing one over and my grandmother tossing the damn thing out the back door. In her defense, at the time, the likelihood of a mass produced sheet of cardboard summoning a demon sounded plausible.
Fair enough, Grandma. Thank you. Olive Green. Is that JJ?
Yes.
Olive Green JJ says, the older generation totally believes that it brings in demons, but my friend got one for her 9th birthday and we all played it in her room. When you're 8 or 9, everything your parents tell you not to touch can be spooky. However, I don't actually remember if it worked.
I mean, I'm guessing it didn't work if you don't remember.
Yeah, you probably remember if it did.
Yeah. Stride No 9 says, oh, I got stories. Lots of them. I mean, I guess it's our fault for not asking for them to tell the stories.
Share them.
We just asked if they had them, so
that's true.
The joke, I think, yeah. Joke's on us.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
On Facebook, we have Dawn, who says, not personally, but my sister supposedly played with one at a sleepover years ago. A friend brought it out and tried to get the others to play, including her. They get into it after a while, asking questions. Suddenly, they set a flash from the headlights of a neighbor's car pulling up to the house, threw up a weird shadow, and everyone agreed it was best not to go further and test it out. All she told me about it and closest I can give on the experience.
So really nothing.
I'm sure that would creep me out.
A car pulling up?
No, this shadow. If it was like, it looked like a creepy human or something.
Oh, like it just creeped him out. So
perhaps
they just stopped.
A demon, if you will.
Fred on Facebook says, back when I used to own a hearse, My mother-in-law at the time brought over a Ouija board and tried to perform a seance in the back. After that, all my radio would play was the oldie station, and it was always chilly inside the car, even in 100-degree heat and windows down.
Interesting.
Ooh.
They're coming for you, Barbara. Like all I can think of.
So zombies or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just the creepy voice.
Got you.
The zombie ghosts.
Yeah. These answers are kind of what I was expecting to get.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Do you have any Ouija board stories? You probably played Ouija board growing up.
Oh, hell yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But no, because it was always like, I don't know if I was just always like the skeptic, but. Of course, like, it moved, but I was like, my friend definitely moved it, you know? Like, I don't remember anything, like, super specific.
Sure.
What about you?
No, I was not allowed to play with a Ouija board.
I don't know if I was allowed to play with it, but I did it anyways.
I don't know why that's, like, a thing with parents. Is it, like, just, like, they don't want their kids to get weird, be weird witchy people? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's because I grew up Catholic. I feel like a lot of the people who responded might be Catholic. One of the people I know personally who responded that way. It's not something that my parents ever wanted me to play around with. And I remember being at sleepovers and people pulling it out and being like, I'm not allowed to touch that. I think I found one in my grandparents' basement once, which was very strange. If I remember correctly, my grandparents lived in like a raised ranch. So it was just like this really long house. And if you go in the basement is just as big as the house. So there's a very big basement. And a lot of it was redone. But there was like this smaller door that led to like more of a creepy section of the basement. Mm-hmm. Like not refinished dirt floors, maybe. I don't really remember. In my mind, it's dirt floors, but I might just be making it creepier in my head. But I remember finding a Ouija board in there and thinking, I'm not going to touch that as a child, and left it there. I've never played it. I do. And when I was more spiritual a person, I really did believe that asking something to come down from another plane of existence and playing a game with me did not seem like a very smart idea.
Totally.
Even though it is, you know, a Hasbro board game.
Which I love that it says that after Ouija Origin of Evil, based on the board game by Hasbro.
Yeah, I think Hasbro threw some money at that film, at both of those films. But yeah, you know, it never was something I wanted to play around with. I did have a friend in high school who will remain nameless that told me a really scary story that creeped me out, though. So maybe I'll share a portion of that story.
Do it.
Which was, he told me, his mother told him this story.
Okay.
So she said she was younger and playing with a group of people, and they were drinking and hanging out. And they were playing Ouija board, and they all collectively passed out when they were playing and woke up and didn't know what happened. There's more parts to the story, but that's the part that I remember the strongest. And that creeped me out quite a bit.
Not understandable. It's a very creepy thing.
Is the story true? I don't know. Was she just trying to creep out her son? Maybe.
She was like, I don't remember what happened because we all passed out.
But he seemed adamant that it was a true story, and that was enough for me to not want to ever touch it. So I still to this day have never touched a Ouija board, and I don't know that I want to. I don't think that they're real necessarily, but like why?
Why test it?
Why test it? Exactly.
I think Ouija boards are completely fascinating. There's this shop here in Burbank, and they have like just a plethora of Ouija boards from all over from different times, and they're like super fascinating to me. I think they're cool.
I'm not necessarily against owning a Ouija board.
Sure.
I just don't think I would ever like actually mess with it. Like especially some of those really cool like old school ones.
Yeah.
I love how in movies Ouija boards always look really cool, but in real life, like
they're
if you
like
get the
plastic
one,
and dinky and you're
they're like they look like the game of life. Yeah. You know, like they're It's not as exciting.
Not at all.
But I'm sure that they make like really cool ones on Etsy or something that are made of wood and have the real spyglass.
Totally.
Or whatever it's called.
Now I want to go look at the Ouija boards.
I know. Well, if I come to LA,
we'll go
soon. We'll go and check out the Ouija boards.
If when.
Okay. So is there anything going on with you? Have you watched anything fun? Have you gone to anything cool? You saw a couple movies this week, did you not?
I did. I saw Strangers, Pray at Night.
Did you like it? You don't have to go into details, but did you like it?
I thought it was fun. There's a lot of... It's not, if you're going and expecting like the Strangers, like the first one, it's nothing like that. It's definitely more like now horror, I guess, and not independent horror. It's more like, it starts really slow and it starts kind of rough. And I was like, oh God, but it was free. So I was like, you know, it's fine. But it gets fun in like the second half of the movie, and
it has its moments.
Yeah, there's definitely like little nods to old horror movies, especially at the end, which you'll totally get if you see it. But yeah, it's fun. Sure.
What else did you see?
I already talk about Annihilation, that I saw that.
Cause yeah, I really, you talked about that last week. But I saw that last night.
Ooh, go on.
I liked it.
You didn't love it.
I didn't love it. I was expecting to love it. I enjoyed parts of it.
What didn't? I'm curious. Well, I guess we don't have to talk about this here because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
I won't get into detail, and I definitely won't spoil it. I just don't think that the ending was enough of a bang for me. I was kind of expecting more.
Were you? Even after Ex Machina?
Yeah.
They kind of have similar endings.
Even after Ex Machina. It wasn't bad. It didn't necessarily work for me. There were some things that I just wasn't super clear on. I'm not sure about all the rules, so I'm not really sure if it stuck to all of them. Like, some things just didn't really make sense, which I guess is fine. I don't know. I was expecting like a cross between Ex Machina and like Mother, which it kind of is, but I was expecting, I don't know, a little more. But it was still good. I really liked the mostly female cast. Mm-hmm. Did a really great job. The story was relatively like different, new, interesting. I really liked the creatures and the world it presented. There's really nothing wrong with it. I just don't know that it was my favorite.
Okay.
Or really necessarily what I was hoping from it.
I'm always really...
But I still think it's worth watching.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth seeing. It's just my expectations might have been a little too high.
That makes sense. I'm always really curious to hear what people think of it because I know that like it's not being super pushed by the studios. I guess like in a lot of their screenings from last summer that they did. They kind of deemed it as like too smart for like the regular normal movie going audience. So like internationally, they're not releasing it. They like sold it straight to Netflix and like they didn't really back it as hugely.
I don't think that was necessary. I think it could have done well in theaters. I don't understand the whole it's too smart for audiences.
Me either.
I mean, I don't really think it's any smarter than some of the other films I've enjoyed in theaters recently.
I thought that was really interesting. And I was like, well, okay.
I think that's underestimating your audience a little bit.
Totally.
It's weird that they sold it right to Netflix, but I guess we'll be doing an episode on it soon.
Woohoo!
I mean, if it's going to be on Netflix soon. But I do recommend seeing it in a theater because it's a good theater experience.
And it's beautiful.
And I saw some young children in that theater. Maybe reconsider bringing young children to this movie. There's some
really fucked up images.
Yeah. There's only like two scenes that are really bad, but there was a couple times where I was like, I'm gonna get up and find those children and cover their
That's
eyes
what I'm because saying. I was like, just, this will haunt my dreams. Like, I will see this in my dreams as an adult, probably.
Yeah. I mean, and relatively, this film isn't horror. I mean,
no.
there are there are horror scenes in this dramatic sci-fi movie, but there are two scenes that are most certainly horror scenes. Like, there's no denying they're horror. So I definitely agree with a drama, horror, sci-fi rating of this film.
Oh, man. Now I'm just, like, imagining that one part.
Oh.
Woo. Yeah.
It hits you.
It does.
It hits you hard. You're not expecting it. Okay. That's enough of that. Okay, so we're basically finishing up here. For next week, you guys, so we promised you some kind of like a female-driven episode this week, that we, for when we were recording this week, and we the movies we were going to cover are no longer streaming. We found out they will be streaming in April, so we'll cover them in May after listener request month. That was a lot of words. You might have not followed it.
You
long
did great.
Story short, next week, we're doing The Descent and The Descent Part 2, which are both streaming on Netflix right now. The Descent Part 2 is also on Tubi TV. If for some reason you don't have Netflix and you've seen The Descent already, you can check out that one on Tubi TV.
I'm excited. I haven't seen The Descent Part 2.
Me neither. I'm really excited to see it because I've actually heard decent things about it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never saw it. I don't remember hearing people talk about it when it came out, but recently I've been hearing more. So I'm stoked. I think it'll be a fun episode. I haven't seen The Descent in like a very long time.
Oh, man.
I want to say almost 10 years. When did that movie come out? Was it? Yeah.
Did you see it in theaters?
I own it. I saw it. No, I did not see it in theaters, but I own it and I've watched it multiple times on my DVD. But I don't. It's been a long time. I remember the last time I saw it and I was still dating. Okay, I'm married and have been for like 7 years. So, like,
man, I'm excited for you to revisit it.
2005. The Descent came out in 2005, guys.
Dang.
So it's 13 years old. It's an old movie.
I'm excited.
I know. I'm excited too. Okay, and until next week, then. We will see you next week. Until then, I'm really bad at closing out today for some reason. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly. Bye.
Bye.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H, Nick B, Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our homepage.